I have an exhortation on my heart today. Generally, I want to speak about death. Particularly, I want to speak about the death of mighty men, great men. And if great men die the way that they die, and I'll try to express the way that they die, then we ought to take warning not to fall into their snare, not to love our lives unto death, not to love silver and never be satisfied with silver, or love abundance of things. Like these mighty men that did conquer the world, they did win the world. Some of the men that I will speak of had as much power and beauty and might and wit and vanity in this life that a man could ever get. They had everything. And learn, please, from their death, the way that they died. For what shall it profit a man? He shall gain the whole world and forfeits, loses his own soul. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want you to see how these men die. And I want you to consider, as I preach a phrase that touched my heart when I read it, a woman dying in southeastern United States back in the 1700s, dying submitted under the authority of Jesus Christ via George Whitefield. She warned others, the Lord will bless Whitefield. God is with him. Be careful not to speak lightly of Whitefield. He was God's man in that day, turning this nation upside down from sin to the living God on many fronts. She said something there that touched my heart. I'll never forget the phrase, till the day that I die by the grace of God. Who would die without God? She said. As she's dying, much pain in body, though there's perfect peace in her soul. Who would die without God? She said to her relative. She's pleading with them. Follow Whitefield. God will bless him. Who would die without God? Follow in my steps. She died, I believe, in the Lord. It was pain, excruciating pain. But God was with her when she passed over the River Jordan. And I'm going to share with some men today, mighty men, noble men, the rich, the kings of the earth. And God was not with them. And it terrifies me. Whenever a mighty anointed civil ruler dies, anointed in common grace, I mean, I always check into it. I watched when Gaddafi died, the leader of Libya, 40 years, died at 69 years old. I watched a video, amateur footage, that they believe, many believe, I've never heard it exposed. I've never heard anyone make a case that it was not the death of Muammar Gaddafi. I'm not sure how you say it. Another mighty leader died that sparked this exhortation last Tuesday. His name was Hugo Chavez. He was the president, the leader, really kind of a dictator of Venezuela. He was a strong man. He was a mighty man. Truly, he was forceful. He had power in the flesh, even at 58 years old, before the cancer ravished and destroyed and crucified his body. He was very, very strong. He wanted to be in the major leagues for baseball. Back in the day in the United States, he's from Venezuela, but he was so gifted and so witty and so intellectual and such a wise political theorist and having everything that a man would want of riches in flesh, that he became the leader. He attempted a coup in the early 1990s upon Venezuelan president of that day, and it failed. And he was put in prison. And he said it failed then, something like that, but it's not going to fail the next time. We're not done yet. Somehow the president didn't kill him for his attempt to take over the government. And then eventually around 1996, he took over the government. 96 or 99, he reigned for about 14 years. He died an excruciating death. I just read an article today on Yahoo that was titled, along the lines of the agonizing death of Hugo Chavez. Reuters, I think that's how you say it, Reuters.com. And I printed it out. For me, when life gets tough in this life, slander rises, persecution falls upon us. When my heart is upon the brink of melting, I consider the death of such men as Hugo Chavez terrible. The judgment of God was all over him, whether he's admitted or not, whether he acknowledges the Lord's might or not, whether he gives God the glory or not, the judgment of God was all upon this man. Every bit as much as those Philistines in 1 Samuel 6 experienced the Imrahs, experienced the slaughter, the plague, through the mice all over the place. Every bit as much as the people back in Europe in the Dark Ages, with 1/3 of Europe died through the Black Plague, experienced pain. This man experienced it. They drugged him up, no question. He tried to hide it. He barely shared anything in the last years of his life. He tried to save face before the people about the pain he was going through, but it's just now coming out what he was going through. Pain. Suffering, and the worst part about it, without God. Who would die without God? We're all dying. You're all going to die. So my recommendation, if you want to make it to heaven and not deny the Lord for a morsel of bread, a 10-cent sin, and regret the rest of your eternity, your life, regret the moment that you sell your soul for the world, the delusion of it. My recommendation is think often of death. An old timer said it. I don't remember who, and I took it to heart. And I do. And I take note, and these men die. Everybody dies. Antichrist, when he comes, he will die. Like a man. Like a worm. Who would die without God? It's such a true statement. Jonathan Edwards said back in the revival in the 1740s, one of the fruit of the Spirit of Truth. How you know it's the Spirit of Truth? The Spirit of God was that He is a Spirit of Truth. He makes people think about things that are really true. The Spirit of God will make you think about death. That's really true. You're going to die. It is appointed unto men once to die. Will you die as Christ, in Christ, by Christ? Will you inherit the blessing, or will you cry and beg and scream and shriek before a God without mercy on that day as He throws you into hell like Esau did before his father Isaac, begging Him, can you bless me, even me, Father, bless me? And the gifts and calling of God without repentance, He sold His soul for a piece of bread. And there was none given to Him. Gehazi begged for his life before he died. It was the most terrifying thing I have probably ever seen, that footage. I was in a McDonald's in Lufkin by myself. I was having a terrible day. Not as bad as Gehazi. He had just died. I had been following this strong man as the nations fought against him. 6 months before this, a lady that was very infamous as a reporter, my father knew who she was. He watches the news and he knows who has the real accurate information, things like this. He knew exactly who she was. She had visited Libya about 6 months before when he still had power and there was a civil war that had just been sparked. He was trying to put it down in Libya where he'd been reigning for 40 years. He had never been defeated. He had never been defeated in life. But it was coming to an end real quick. He was so proud and puffed up. He thought that his people would fight for him. He thought this thing would be put down in a moment of time. But I tell you the truth, God fought against him. And if God fight against you, you cannot win. And it will happen if you turn your back on God. If you deny your conscience for a piece of bread and you love your skin more than your soul, one day it will find you out. God will fight against you. Why do the heathen rage? Psalm 2. And the people imagine the vain things. The kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Cast away their cords from among us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His sore displeasure and vex them in His anger. Yet, you try to do what you want to do. You have all the wit in the world. Be the wisest man that ever lived with all the power of Antichrist and gather all the nations against God. Yet, have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The Lord will have the last word. When you come to face eternity, and I come to face eternity, you come to face death,
You better hope you didn't deny your conscience in this life. You better hope you didn't deny God for a piece of bread. Or you will be terrified. Your fear will lay hold upon you. You will melt eternally, everlastingly. You will melt in fear, which can be felt in terror that is unknown to the minds of men. We cannot consider it. The Lord shall reward the righteous much more the wicked and the ungodly. One day, very soon. And if the Spirit of God is working in you, you will consider death. You will learn and take heart. Be admonished from the death of these men. I'll try to share some of the deaths of some of the men in biblical times and extra-biblical times. Some of the things that have touched me. I had barely a moment to prepare for this sermon. But it's in my heart. These things move my soul. And if you're in your right mind, if you have a sound mind, it will be in your soul. And you will be reasonable and you will take heart and take heed and start fleeing from sin and quit playing the fool with the Lord if you've been doing that. Lest you die like a Gehazi. Sheer terror fell upon that man. He died like a worm. He died like a coward. He was terrified out of his mind, begging for mercy, but none was given to him by these rebellious, wicked Muslims that had given themselves over to slaughter this king of Libya. God had set them on fire against him because for so long he had set himself against God, and now his fear came upon him. Terror laid hold upon him. Evil pursued the sinner. It was only a matter of time. 40 years. The whole world before him. All the women. All the lusts that a man could ever have fulfilled. All the riches of oil in Libya. All of the power. All the entertainment. All the weapons. All the joys that this life you could ever have. Had it. I'd share a little bit about his death. Saw the video. I don't want to see it again, to be honest with you. It was so disturbing to me. This lady that was an infamous reporter, my dad knew who she was. This lady had a video put together when there was a camcorder, there was a cell phone video brought before Hillary Clinton. And she saw it, and she gasped. This lady thought that that was an amateur video I was seeing of the death of a good hobby. They were saying that it was. And it's never been denied. I haven't found anybody that's put that to flight. That is not the death of a good hobby. She gasped. She knew Gehazi. She knew his sons. I saw a picture just now of her with his son, who also died terrible deaths. All of them did, just like Saul and sadly Jonathan. And the other sons of Saul died. I never, until I saw how Gehazi died, I didn't really understand the pain, the fear that Saul had gone through. I had to see it for myself today. Gehazi had fought for months. He was so proud, he thought they could never get him. After 6 or 8 months, finally, he's on the run. He's only got a couple stronghold cities left. And he was running, and eventually, the rebel forces had come upon him. NATO and all these nations, even America, had soldiers, they say, in Libya. Other nations in the Western world were fighting against this man. And he had only a few loyal men left. About 250 men. Many of them got slaughtered. He eventually made it back to his hometown, Sirta, I believe is what it was called. And in that town, he ended up in some kind of a formation of concrete. And he was in that place with his bodyguards. He had a golden pistol. He had golden pants on, literally. This man had been reigning for 40 years. And he had a Quran. They say in the last weeks before he died, he's reading the Quran, praying to God. He had tried to seek for peace. He tried to make treaties. They wouldn't do it, though. Reminds me of the death of Ahab. When Ahab went and disguised himself and he thought that he could cunningly get away from the judgment of God, of death that was coming upon him. God had said through the word of God, that cannot be broken. If he returns in peace and God has not spoken to by me. Micaiah said, you're going to die. You're going to die, Ahab. He was so proud. He still went to battle and he went with Jehoshaphat. He died. Sure enough, all the Syrians, 250 princes, kings, under Ben-Hadad, they were all assigned to not turn aside to the right hand or the left, go straight head on after Ahab. And Jehoshaphat, was decked up in king's apparel, and Ahab said, I'll disguise myself and go into battle thinking he can get away from judgment, get away from death, get away from God. And then went into battle, and all 250 kings came with Jehoshaphat. He was terrified. He cried out, oh God, have mercy, oh! And they saw it was not King Ahab. God was on the throne. He said to Ahab, despite your pride, your folly, your madness, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. You will not touch my glory anymore. You will burn. Prepare to meet thy maker, Ahab. And he got slain by a random, seemingly chance arrow that was thrust upon him and hit him. And they tried to deck him up. They tried to put him up before all the people to show forth that he's not afraid, that he's not dead, so the people would fight. But he died like a man. Though God had said, ye are gods, ye shall die as men, Psalm 82. Gehazi ran from this place, this cemented, like a sewage tank, where he was hiding. They finally found him, and there was some gunfire, and his bodyguards were just so loyal to him, despite anything, they were going to die with him, just like Jonathan and Saul, and armor-bearer of Saul, before he died, he was going to die there with him, and Saul committed suicide, and he committed suicide. And they ran out of this place, and all these rebels just swarmed him. And the last footage, before he died, kid you not, and it looks just like his dead body. You can see pictures of blood all over it after he died. All these men swarming him, beating him, thrusting his head into a truck, putting him up against this truck, doing the most defiling things you can imagine to this man's body. Shot him, but he's still not dead. He's crying for his life. He's saying, what did I do to you? What did I do to you? And he's probably talked his way out of so many things his whole life, and he thought he could never be defeated, trusting in his own guns. Your guns will falter, and your strengths will come to naught before that day when God says it's time to meet your Maker. And he pled, he said, this is sin. In the Quran, this is sin. And these kind of things you can hear on the video, and he's crying it out in a raven. It's being translated in terror. Blood's all over him, golden pants on. People are just yelling and screaming. It was so terrifying. He was so afraid. They were manhandling him. And they shot him in the head. They defiled his body. I will not mention the things they did. When I saw that day in McDonald's, the terror of God fell upon me afresh. You don't want to be on his bad side. He's the Lord of hosts. If I may share about Hugo Chavez, his agonizing death. Again, he reigned for around 14 years. He was a winner in life. He won the battle in life. Truly, he did. I read an article about him, not this article, but another one of recent, that said all of his accomplishments and how he could never be defeated. Everything he did, he just won another election. He's dying of cancer, being ravished in his body, being destroyed. He had a tumor, as you'll see, the size of a baseball in his pelvic region that was cut out, and he still won an election in 2012. And now it's 2013, and he's in hell. Truly, they hid the pain he was going. They hid what he was suffering till he died, just like Ahab propping him up there in his chariot to make it look like he's still strong and doing well, just like this man Gehazi tried to tell them, we're going to win, we're going to win, and all nations fought against him. He's going to die. Just like Jezebel, her time has come. It's time for this mighty woman to fall. She paints herself and acts like she has power and tries to come against Jehu, the anointed of God, anointed to slaughter her. And he said, who is on the Lord's side? And the eunuchs thrust her out of that window. And Jezebel, oh, she had reigned in terror and put Elijah even in fear and slaughtered all the prophets of God for so many years. Death came. And eternity's a lot longer than life. She was thrust out of the window. She died. Jehu ran over her with his horses and chariots. They went and they ate, and he said, she's a queen. She's the son of a king of Zidon. Let's bury her. And they went out, and all that there was left of her body, according to the prophecy of Elisha, the Tishbite, was a skull, if I'm not mistaken, and a couple bones. The dogs ate her at Jezreel, according to the word of God. And what was it all worth? Who would die without God? Are you living for eternity? Are you living for life? Are you considering this? The Spirit of God will teach you of these things. The Spirit of the world will come and teach you. You're fine. You're not going to die. Prepare for your life. Save your life. Love your life. How terrible. How terrible if you died without the Lord. I think of the man. I believe Corey told me this story once. And it was in John Fox's Book of Martyrs. The man that was being tortured to death. The man that was not denying God unto death. He was set like flint. He was almost dead. They almost killed him. He lost so much blood. Been so tormented. And he denied the faith. He denied the faith for his life. And he walked off and died. And God killed him. And he went to hell. A couple more minutes. He would have been carried by chariots of fire and holy angels into eternity. And he denied the Lord. And if you deny him, he will deny you. You believe that not? He abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. I remember this man, a pastor in China. Two ladies had been saved. It was in John Fox's Book of Martyrs, but it was a newer contemporary version I had read. And it was a more recent testimony in China of persecution. And there was this one pastor who had baptized these ladies who were saved. They were all in prison for their faith. And I remember that those ladies would not deny the faith unto death. And the men, the communists, the police that were corrupt in that time had bribed that man saying, if you'll kill them, we'll give you your life. The pastor that had baptized them, they'd been saved through his gospel. He had taught them repent and be baptized. He had taught them endure to the end and you'll be saved. He had taught them the doctrines of Christ. That he's worthy of your life. It's so horrendous, truly. It's so obnoxiously shocking. He took the gun. He took the bride. And this man, pastor, shot them in the head dead. And the police had lied. They had lied to him, said, I'll give you your life, bribed him for his life, and he sold his soul. For a little bit more, a couple more moments, because they killed him. Now he's in hell. What was it all worth? The ladies, it was so wonderful, the testimony of Christ in them. They said to their pastor who was denying the faith, but though we are angels from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let it be accursed. They're denying, he's denying the faith, and they said, Pastor, Pastor, when you do this, we remember what you taught us. You can always repent. If you would just repent and believe, we forgive you for what you're doing. They pled with this man. They weren't afraid to die. And he shot him, but he never repented. Then they shot him dead. They lied. He went on to hell. Evil spirits, I'm sure, probably came. And the Lord said, take him, Satan. I don't want nothing to do with that man. Traitor. Coward, but the fearful shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Traitors don't make it to heaven. Not before my God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God of truth and God of judgment, and a God of mercy. If I may read about Chavez, Venezuela's Hugo Chavez slid into a coma the day before he died of respiratory failure. After cancer spread into his lungs, sources say, Chavez's precise condition was one of the world's best-kept secrets since his cancer was announced in June of 2011. Since his death this week, however, details have emerged of the 58-year-old president's battle with cancer in the last moments in the hospital with close family and senior aides. They have used iPads and other tools to give him policy presentations, one government source told Reuters, referring to the minister's visits to Havana and Caracas hospitals where he spent his final weeks, unable to speak and breathing through a tube. His body was destroyed in a very short amount of time. He was only 58 years old. Don't tell me that was not the judgment of God against this man. This man was mighty. If y'all study him at all, and y'all study his life, he was a winner in life. He won every battle he faced. Every competitor that came up against him, he defeated them. He was gifted in athletics. He was gifted in looks. He was gifted in speech abilities. Every single day, apparently, in this almost socialistic, communistic type of nation, he'd be on the television singing before them. He could sing. He'd be preaching about his socialistic theories and about his beliefs and philosophies before all the people every day they'd see his face. He was one of the most infamous men in that nation's history, if not the most. And he's dead now. And they so loved him and idolized him that they prepared his body and they made his body to be preserved like a tomb, like a mummy. But he's dead and his soul is dead. Going on, when appointing a new foreign minister, aides showed Chavez a list of several possible names, and he put a tick mark beside one before signing the document. The source said he couldn't speak for weeks. Before he died, he's had him breathe through a tube inserted into him. I'm sure his body was utterly trashed and destroyed. How are the mighty fallen? After announcing in 2011 that cancer had been detected in his pelvic area, and a, quote, baseball-sized tumor removed, Chavez insisted on extreme privacy over the details of his health. That was one of the reasons he chose to be treated in Cuba, where his friendship with past and present leaders Fidel and Raul Castro and the ruling Communist Party's firm grip on information guaranteed him discretion. Chavez spent several months there on various visits and underwent four operations, the last of which on December 11th was the most complicated. His last words to his aides before flying to Havana for that operation were, which is in Cuba, quote, I'll be back for sure. He said that to those that were in his country, Venezuela. Here's the death of Chavez. Metastasis in lungs. That's what it was. Chavez did indeed fly home, but in such a bad state, he could not be seen in public. He died of respiratory failure on Tuesday afternoon after the cancer had metastasized in his lungs, two sources said. During two initial operations in mid-2011, Chavez had a tumor removed from his intestines and was diagnosed with sarcoma, which is a form of aggressive cancer in the psoas muscle that runs from the lower part of the vertebral column to the pelvis, a medical source said. Though chemotherapy and radiotherapy kept the disease at bay and allowed him to run for re-election in October 2012, he was just re-elected, now he's dead, Chavez took heavy doses of medicines to enable him to make some heavily staged campaign appearances. And there's a dash, in a lot of pain. On the last day of campaigning, standing for hours under a heavy rainfall, Chavez could bear it no longer, and a final rally canceled. To the pain of having to get up there and speak and campaign for re-election. After the October 7th win, by an impressive 11 percentage points, an exhausted and suffering Chavez made few more public appearances before returning to Cuba weeks later. The December 11th operation lasted 6 hours and left Chavez in a dire state with hemorrhaging, bleeding, and a severe lung infection. He lost his pulse several times during the surgery, that was on December 11th, and had to be resuscitated by doctors. Cuban medics designed a special antibiotic to counter the infection, the medical source said, but even so, Chavez had to undergo a tracheotomy to enable him to breathe through a tube in the windpipe. In his last few days, a heavily dosed with drugs, Chavez met only with closest family and aides, despite a clamor from Venezuelan supporters and opponents to see him. Even one of his closest friends and allies, Bolivia's leftist leader, Evo Morales, was not allowed in to see him on visits to Caracas and Havana. On Saturday, ministers, that is, not this Saturday, the one before that, ministers were with him for about 5 hours before a rapid deterioration began. He slipped into a coma on Monday and died at 4:25 p.m. local time on Tuesday. How are the mighty fallen? Can you see this man, the flesh of Saul? Honor me before the people. He didn't want people to know how he suffered. He didn't want people to see him in his weak estate. He hid his weakness that he was a man that was going to die until he died. He did everything he could to maintain the reputation of a mighty prince before the people. But he's a worm before God. And now he has to face it. There was a man, I used to watch his movies. He was in a lot of these movies about dancing
His name was Patrick Swayze. He died of cancer recently, and I saw pictures of this man. He was a mighty man. He was into karate. He was good looking. He had this hair that everybody just loved. Everybody loved the man. He was a Hollywood star. He had these famous movies. He was a good singer. He had everything, Patrick Swayze. And in 2008, I believe it was, 2009, he was diagnosed with cancer. He was so positive, though. He was public about it. He was going through chemotherapy and radiotherapy kind of things, talking to the doctors. And he was so positive. He was just hoping that they could find a cure. He was expecting, believing they could find a cure before he died. And within about a year, he was a corpse. Literally. If you saw pictures before and after, what had happened to his body through the chemotherapy, the suffering of death, he looked like a skeleton walking around. His hair had all fallen out that he was so infamous for. All of his strength. He was a mighty man. He was a strong man. He was in shape. He was fit. Now he's dead. And in hell. How are the mighty fallen? How are the strong fallen from among the children of men? Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise men are called. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Exercises judgment, mercy, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Who would die without God? That's the question that I want to press upon your minds as I share some more testimonies. These are contemporary men that have died. Terrible, hideous death. There's many more that I could have gone over. These are all mostly on a whim. I just keep up with these things. It touches my heart. It puts me in fear. It reminds me when the battle gets tough and the flesh is rising up against the Spirit of God. I'm thinking, oh, I can't bear any longer. I can't go on. I think about the death of Gaddafi, begging for mercy. He's about to enter into eternity without God. Or my grandpa, Papa, and y'all have heard that story. It's in the Doctrine of Hell, a sermon I preached. I love my Papa. He was a strong man, much stronger than I was. But he died without God. By the grace of God, I don't intend to follow. Queen Elizabeth, a mighty woman of the past, reigning in England in a time of prosperity until around 1604. Let me read about her death. Queen Elizabeth ascended the English throne at the age of 25 years old and remained in power for 45 years. She was a Protestant, but was far from being a true Christian in her life. She persecuted the Puritans for many years, and her cruelty was manifested all through her public life. She died in 1603, 70 years old, and her last words were, "All my possessions for a moment of time." 45 years. She died at a good old age, around 70 years old. She was beautiful, they say. She was wise enough to rule one of the mightiest, if not the mightiest, nations of that day, having the power even of the Pope in that day. 45 years as a woman, in a time when women weren't doing as many things as they do now. She had the pleasures of sin. She had the luxuries that anybody could ever imagine or want of that day. Nobody had more than her, and she died. And her last words were, "Would you learn? Would you consider?" What will your last words be? All my possessions for a moment in time. But there's none given to her. When it's over, it's over. Time shall be no more. Prepare to meet thy mate. What you do in this life, it does echo in eternity. It does matter your decision today and tomorrow. Be careful with sin. Because one sin, one temptation heeded leads to lust, leads to sin, leads to death, and it leads to hell if it's not cut down at the root. The gospel is the power of God of salvation to those that lead it from sin. To mortify the deeds of the body that ye may live. Put it down when you can. In the world, in my old man, sin begets sin. And if you sin once, well, since we're trusting in works, our own self, that we're righteous, despising others, let's just sin again, because I don't have this perfect slate anymore, and we just justify sin. We sin one time, and we failed this perfect test, this perfect record, to have it anymore. So we're just going to keep on sinning, let's just mock sin. We're so hard-hearted, we don't feel it. I don't feel anything, I don't feel like it's a big deal. So we just play until, before you know it, brethren, wake up in hell. We don't cut it down when we can. Because the Bible says we're saved not by works of righteousness, which we have done, not by having a perfect slate or a perfect resume. We're saved by grace. And as long as you don't commit the sin unto death, deny the Lord, go back to the world, God will be merciful. Yes, He will. Are you playing with sin? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Or you stop it when it starts, when you see it and you got light and you know it's wrong. Do you cut it down when you can? If you don't, one day, it'll be out of your hands. God won't deliver you by some Jonathan or some mighty man like David or some Paul to come and preach and cut it down, give you light again. He won't do it anymore. One day, say, okay. That's enough. No more of this rashness. No more trying to deny Christ in a moment of time, a moment of weakness. I just woke up too late. I just don't feel like serving God today. One day God's going to give you up. Keep doing that. You're asking for it. Your sin's going to find you out. Please don't do that. Please quit doing that. Where the tree falleth, that's where it's going to lie. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that dies in his sins, he's still going to be in his sins in eternity. The gospel is the power to stop that trend. Quit sinning when you can. Quit giving in to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Quit playing the fool and mocking at sin. It is foolish eternally. God knows better. God knows better. Or you're going to die. Go after the world. Go ahead. Go get a mansion. Go get all that you want. Go get some money. Go get a good bank account. Trust in your riches. And you'll die like a man. And you're going to say, all my possessions for a moment in time. And you're going to join Queen Elizabeth. I don't want to join her. I'd rather be with the persecuted Puritans. I'd rather be with John Bunyan. I'd rather be with Rolf Barnum. I'd rather be with Men of Integrity. That's where I, by the grace of God, have set my sail. I'm going! Though I have to humble myself a million times. Though I have to beg God for mercy on my face before the whole church and not save my reputation like these wicked, vile men before the people. This man won't even share the details. He's so embarrassed about the judgment of God that slaughtered him by these Imrods, worse than Imrods. It's cancer. He won't give God the glory. Isaiah 33, verse 13. Hear, ye that are far off, what I have done. And ye that are nigh, acknowledge my might. He just wouldn't do it. He will. He will by force. Now, acknowledge my might. Give God the glory. And He'll have mercy upon you. Another man, ungodly man, Cardinal Borgia, the death, Cardinal Borgia, a natural son of Pope Alexander VI, was a man of such conduct and character that Machiavelli has thought fit to propose him in his famous book called The Prince as an original and pattern to all princes who would act the part of wise and political tyrants. He was made a cardinal, a very high office, in the Roman Catholic Church, but as this office imposed some restraints upon him, he soon determined to resign it, that he might have the greatest scope for practicing the excesses to which his natural ambition and cruelty prompted him, for cruel, as well as ambitious, he was in the highest degree, Cardinal Borgia, that is. After this, he was made the Duke of Valentinois by Louis XII, the King of France. He experienced a variety of fortune, but listen to this man, another winner in the flesh, another noble, mighty conqueror in the flesh. In every occasion, he displayed the most consummate dexterity and finesse
and seemed prepared for all events. He was prepared for anything.
He was a prudent man in the flesh. But he wasn't a prudent man in reality. Not in God's eyes. The reflections he made a short time before his death, which happened in the year 1507, show, however, that his policy was confined to the concerns of this life, and that he had not acted upon that wise and enlarged view of things which becomes a being that is destined for immortality. Quote, he said, I had provided in the course of my life for everything except death. And now, alas, I am to die, although entirely unprepared. Are you ready to die? The way you were acting this morning, when you got light, when you were sinning, are you ready to stand before God and give account for your behavior? Who would die without God? He'll be with the righteous man. He will stand against the sinner. He will not clear the guilty. Are you guilty today? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you treading under your feet? Are you fearing God? Are you taking sin lightly? Who would die without God? Christian is supposed to be ready and able to die at any time. To be absent from the body should be better to be present with the Lord.
Isaiah chapter 14. The death of Antichrist, prophetically speaking of the fall of Satan. Who will fall? He will die like a creature. He's not God. He's not the Maker. If you return there, we'll read about the fall of Antichrist, the fall of Satan. And it's a very much a picture of the fall of all these mighty men that exalted themselves above God. Psalm 82, 6 through 7. I'll say it again. I have said, ye are dogs, and all of you are the children of the Most High, but ye shall die as men and fall like one of the princes. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. He will yet choose Israel, set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for the servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. Though in the side of things, right then, the Israelites are in trouble, it seems. And it seems Antichrist is doing well. And we're going to see what happens in the latter end. Verse 3, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, who is a representative of Antichrist. He is Antichrist. It's a type of the devil falling. It's a type of all these mighty men falling. And say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, the strength, and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller, no destroyer has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee, Satan, Antichrist, at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up their thrones, all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, Antichrist, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us, a worm and not a man? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, thy music, thy celebrating in this cursed flesh that's bound for judgment, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground
which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial. You won't be buried, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renounced. The name of the wicked shall rot. Proverbs 10. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, God says, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I also will make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out. Who shall turn it back? Who would die without God? Who would not tremble before this king? Who says to the sea, go this far, and don't go any far, says to the star, go here. And it does it. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? The Lord of hosts is his name. You don't want to be on his bad side. You don't want to die like Joab did, brethren. Joab had reality for a time. Joab continued to skirt the fence. Joab continued to cut the corner. Joab continued to do what was right in his own eyes behind the scene in the secret of darkness, to give heed to grudges, to give heed to personal vendettas, to give heed to the flesh. He died like a man. Couldn't stand in the day of his death. If I may read the death of Joab, you know him. 1 Kings 2, 28 through 34 highlights before us the death of a hypocrite. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? I love Joab. I loved him. Fought for the cause of God at times. Did. He was never defeated in battle until he came to die. Nobody could stand against him. He was so cunning. He was so artificious. He was so wise in the flesh. He was a mighty man. A mighty general. David himself could not put him down out of his place as general. He was too strong. He was too strong. David was grieved because the heart of God was grieved. And he kept him there for a time, and he was able to go on in his ways that were grievous and judgments of God that were far above out of his sight for a long time. Let me share with y'all the death of Joab. 1 Kings. Chapter 2. Verse 28. Then tidings came to Joab. For Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. It's a sign of pleading for mercy. the sacred horns of the altar, and it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled into the tabernacle of the Lord. And behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go, fall upon him." And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord, said unto him, "Thus saith the king, come forth." And he said, "Nay, but I will die here." He got his way. So many sins, killing Absalom against the clear command of David, "Don't touch the boy Absalom." Or Amasa, the general that David exalted above him, not obeying and heeding the word of the king, stabbing him under the fifth rib in cold blood, not in time of war, slaying the mighty man after the blessed man that David had made a covenant with behind the king's back, because he had killed his brother Asahel, cold blood, not in battle. Though he had done so many things, I think of 2 Samuel 10, when he fought against the Syrians and the Ammonites. David wasn't there at that time, I don't believe. And he fought, and there was a two-front war against him. And he told his brother, "You go face the Ammonites, and I'll go face the Syrians over here. And the Lord do what seemeth good to him. Let us play the man for the city of our God and for our Lord." And he discomfited them. And all nations fought against him. And in the name of the Lord, Joab conquered them. And he died like this. And it's a grief to my heart. Why? Why did he play the fool with authority? Why did he play the fool with the Lord's man? Why did he despise commands of God? Why did he pick and choose when he's going to obey? Why did he believe that his sin wouldn't find him out, that he could escape judgment, that God was a respecter of persons, and because he stayed with David for so long, didn't turn aside after Absalom, somehow now that David's dead, he can turn aside from the word of the Lord after Adonijah and get away with it? Why? The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Are you wicked? Brethren, are you really going after God with all of your heart? Are you really meaning business, serving the Lord with fervency of spirit? Are you really fleeing from the wrath to come into the bosom of a holy God and a blessed God? Scripture says, you set your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Not even a glance, brother. That was the sin of Lot's wife. Just a glance. Just a moment of time. Just one quick look. I'm out of the city, right? I'm in the valley, right? I made it this far. Remember Lot's wife, not a glance. Don't look back. Reach forth unto the things that are before. Forget the things that are behind. Go after God. Go after God. Are you running? Are you fleeing? Like Paul, "I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest that mean by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." God says in 1 Timothy 1, be like Paul in essence. That's my Christianity. I want to follow the Apostle Paul, but by the grace of God I am what I am. But His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than the rest, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And Paul was scarcely saved by the skin of his teeth. He was beheaded by Nero, they say, in 68 AD. Same year Peter was beheaded. I'm sure it was a joyful death. I'm sure it was a triumphal entry before the king. He was worthy. He was worthy to walk with the Lord in the gates of gold in the celestial city. He made it, brethren. Let us follow suit. Let us learn from the lesson from this godly, blessed man and go in the way of righteousness, walk in the integrity of the upright that shall guide them, and not the perverseness of transgressors that shall destroy them. Though you be the mightiest man in the world, though you have everything in all things, because you're going to die. And that needs to be forefront in your mind, brethren. You have a body, you have a breath. The Lord has it in the palm of His hands. And the fact of the matter remains, like I said at the beginning, who would die without God? I don't want to die without God. Can't face it. Joab died without God. 1 Kings 2, verse 30 again. And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord, and said unto him, "Thus saith the king, come forth."
And he said, Nay, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, Thus saith Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said unto him, that is Solomon, the king, where the word of the king is, there is power. The kingdom is not in word, but in power. Do as he hath said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood, which Joab shed from me, and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword. My father David, not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever. But upon David, and upon his seed, and upon his house, and upon his throne shall there be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up, fell upon him, slew him. He was buried in his own house in the wilderness. I'm sure like Gehazi, to the end he begged for mercy. His time was up. There's no mercy given him. God will not save a hypocrite. The Lord will not have mercy upon those that play the fool with his gospel, with his word, with the light of your conscience that God gives you. He will not. You will die a fearful death. There's a death in Scripture that touched my heart when I read it before. It was so awful. It was so grievous. It's not one that I've shared before. It's not one that you've probably considered much. Ishbosheth, who was the son of Saul, and the way that he was killed. He was in a house of blood, Saul's house. So much treachery going on. If you're doing these things, and if you're playing with the Lord, it's going to affect everyone around you. He had to die, though he was a righteous man, as it seems, David says. And men betrayed him, came upon him, his fear came upon him in a moment of time. And God was not with him to save him from that event. I don't know if he saved eternally. I think that he could have been. Ishbosheth, if I may go there. It's in 2 Samuel. If you'll turn there. Chapter 3. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second Chileah of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third Absalom the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth Adonijah the son of Haggith, and the fifth Shephatiah the son of Abital, and the sixth Ithream by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. Verse 6, And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Saul had a concubine, whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, who was the king, the puppet king. Abner was the strength of the kingdom, but he had set up Saul's son Ishbosheth that wasn't slaughtered. Many of them were slaughtered in the battle when that hypocrite died. Terrifying death, and those that followed a hypocrite, those that followed a blind leader, the blind fell into the ditch. I prayed, and I would that Jonathan was saved eternally, but he surely paid the price for staying with Saul when he should have been, I believe, with David. He should have been, I believe, where the presence of God was with David. I believe that's why he died. With his father, the hypocrite. He had familial idolatry. He had this high place that overcame him. Too much fondness for his father in the flesh, who was not a father in the faith. He was a father apostate in the faith, not a man you want to follow into this battle of souls. And Saul had a concubine named Rizpah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, Wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day into the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan, even to Beersheba. And Ish-bosheth could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David, if y'all would follow with me, I'm going to get to where I'm going with Ish-bosheth, saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. And David said, well, I will make a league, a covenant. I will make an alliance. I will make a contract. I will make a promise with thee. That's what we need with the Lord. Abner had been chasing David, trying to kill David for about 10 or 12 years. He was afraid to see David, this king, without a covenant of protection going upon him. So he asked for a league, and that's what we need with the Lord Jesus. Covenant. Agreement, a league, that he would be our God, that he would stand with us. And that's what he got. David said, well, amen, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, who was the king, though the power was in the hands of the general, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, go, return. And he returned. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. He was a mighty man, a wise man, a cunning man. Now then do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of their enemies. He stopped fighting against God, and he started to agree with God. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, who he was a Benjamite, his people. Saul was a Benjamite. They had a particular fondness for the house of Saul. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David and Hebron all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. The Lord was bringing all Israel into the hands of David. And he was using Abner. And David was a merciful man. That's why God showed him mercy. And Joab was not a merciful man. Joab had no clemency. And that's why there was none shown to him in the day of his calamity. That's why his fear came upon him as a desolation, like it says in Proverbs 1. So Abner came to David at Hebron, 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast, a charity feast. And Abner said unto David, Abner wasn't expecting that. He said, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my Lord the king. He submitted to the rightful king. Though he was last, he'll be first in eternity. And though Joab was first, he'll be last one day. Though Joab followed David 30 years, however long it was, a long time. Though he was in the cave, though he was there with David when he ran over to Mahanaim, running from Absalom. Though he was with him running from Saul. So long, in the latter end, he denied the faith. And the first shall be last. And Abner, though he fought against David so long, he wouldn't submit to the word of God. He wouldn't believe the Lord until the day almost that he died. You'll see. Though he was last, I believe Abner will be first. I believe Abner will be in heaven. That's my belief. We'll read on. Consider. So Abner came to David, and David made a feast, and Abner said, I will go and arise and go and gather all Israel unto my Lord the king, that they may make a league, a covenant with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desired. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. He was so merciful, because he knew that he had nothing good dwelling in him, but by the grace of God it was what he was. And so he was forgiving Abner for fighting against him. It's okay. He's just thankful that one sinner repented and rejoicing. But Joab has a grudge, a root of bitterness springing up, that almost defiled Israel, but God worked despite Joab's sin. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in the Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. David said, peace be unto thee. I forgive you. It's okay. Because he wants God to say, peace be unto you for your sins. That's why God was peaceable. That's why God was merciful and showed him his sin when he killed Uriah the Hittite and had mercy upon him, though he was a murderer. He made it to heaven. Joab was a murderer as well. He didn't make it to heaven. Blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. If he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2. When Joab and all the host that were with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he hath sent him away. He is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. No charity, no mercy. He won't believe it. He's thinking evil of Abner. He can't have mercy. No, I know better than you, David. I know. I have secret knowledge. I understand this man has come to deceive you, David. You are foolish. That's folly. And this type of high-mindedness, professing himself to be wiser than his king, is playing the fool with God. It found him out in his latter end. He wasn't a child. He wasn't blind that he should have no sin. He was spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments, the ways of the world, worldly-mindedness, and not after Christ, not after the ways of God. Pray that we won't be such in one. And when Abner was come out from David, he sent messengers, verse 26, after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Syrah. But David knew it not. It wasn't David. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. He's got a grudge, personal vendetta against him. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever for the blood of Abner, the son of Ner, who the king had just made a covenant with. And Abner broke it. He couldn't care less about an oath. Covenant breaker. Hypocrite. Liar. Treacherous man. Fool. Let it rest, David says. He curses Abner. Imprecatory prayer against Abner. And this followed him. This found him out when he came to die 30, 40 years later. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house. And let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and to the fourth generation. The Lord is serious about your heart. But the righteous, but the prudent, but the wise, through well-doing that seek for glory and honor and immortality, get eternal life. But if any man be contentious and obey not the truth, the Spirit of God from his heart, worshiping God in spirit and truth, and he knows your heart, and obeys not the truth, indignation and wrath to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Cannot deceive the Lord. If you're following the Lord, follow the Lord. If God be God, then follow God with your heart and soul and mind and strength. Are you seeking it with all your heart? I assure you, brethren, if you're not, you will not be saved. One day, you will be breached. One day you will know these ways for the Lord. He has an equal balance. They do not work. You cannot make it in by being half-hearted. You cannot make it in another way and have less rewards. Every man must press into the kingdom himself. Every man must violently seek to do the will of God. Every man must humble himself and repent and keep repenting 70 times, 7 times every day. Every man must endure unto the end and you'll be saved. And you will not be heard of the second death. Joab just didn't fear God like that. He didn't learn. He loved David. He did. But he didn't love the Lord. So when David died, he turned back. He had men's persons in admiration because of advantage. He was sensual, separating himself, having not the Spirit. Joab fell away when David died. But the word of the Lord was still enduring forever. And the word of the Lord was still with that kingdom. And the word of the Lord was with his son Solomon. He just, his hypocrisy finally found him out. Evil pursued the sinner. going on after the curse, Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner, it says, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Abner was in the battle. If he hadn't slain Asahel, he would have been killed. That was for his life. He didn't want to slay Asahel. These men did it in cold-blooded murder. And David said to Joab and all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier, and they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept, and the king lamented over Abner. He loved his enemies. That's the gospel that I believe. Said, died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat, while it was yet day, David sware, saying, so do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread, or aught else, till the sun be down. All the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness, and there is no respect of persons. The death of Ish-bosheth. Come to that place. Breaks my heart. The way this man died. David says he was a righteous man. I believe that means he was saved. I believe. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, this man Ish-bosheth. He was afraid. Fear began to take hold upon him. He was a part of the bloody house. He was guilty by association of all the crimes that Saul of Gibeah, his father, had committed. And all the Israelites were also troubled in the death of Abner, not the ones in Judah. David was reigning in Hebron for 7 years, and then for 33 years he reigned over all of Israel. The ones in Israel troubled, I believe. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other, Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Beerothite, and the children of Benjamin. For Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittaim and were sojourners there until this day. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. This is the introduction of Mephibosheth. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. She was afraid they were killed. They died in the battle. It was a terrible day in Israel. It came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, Rechab, and Baana went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ish-bosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. He was depressed. His hands were feeble. He was troubled. You don't want to be a part of a bloody house. You don't want to be a part of Mystery Babylon the Great. I remember years ago being at that charismatic church. I was terrified this might be, in God's eyes, diagnosis Mystery Babylon the Great. Come out of her, my people, lest you partake of her plagues and receive of her sins. I didn't want anything to do with it. Unclean. Unclean. Unclean, because I feared the Lord. Made me terrified. I didn't want to trust in my riches. If you'll stay there, hold that place. I would just read to you to give a little exposition to expound upon that in Psalm 52. Quicken that I needed to read it. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The wicked man, though he has all the power, though he has everything for him in a time, one day, very soon he'll be found out. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo! This is the man that made not God his strength, not the word of the Lord that endureth forever his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Ish-bosheth stayed with his father far too long. Though he be a righteous man eternally, and though he be saved eternally, judgment came upon him temporarily. And I pray that was the end of it. And the sons of Rimmon, verse 5, 1, 2 Samuel 4, the Beerothite, Rechab, and Baana went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ish-bosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither into the midst of the house as though they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him under the fifth rib. Can you imagine? Would you think about what happened? Would you think about that? If you were enfeebled, if you were troubled, and these men came upon you at noon and you're on your bed asleep, your own generals betraying you. That's what happens if you have a treacherous house. That's what happens if you have sin in the midst. And he came upon Ish-bosheth in his bed. These men kill him. And they forced him. They restrained him by force, I'm sure. And they slew him. Cut him to pieces. Think about the day you come to die. Think about who the Lord is, that He is the Lord. That is His name. And His glory He will not share with another. Be a friend of God. He'll be a friend of you. He sticketh closer than a brother. There's never been a righteous man that regretted trusting God for all eternity past, though Josiah died by an arrow slaying him, yet God was with him. It was worth it. It was okay. It was different than the death of Ahab. God was not with him. What matters is the other side. I shared about Ish-bosheth. I think he made it to heaven. I think. But nevertheless, the terror, the fear, I wanted y'all to see that, expressed it to me. I would never want to be in such a state. And what about if you're in such a state without God? I can't walk down the street without the Lord. Wrath of a king. Fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger, sinneth against his own soul. And David commanded his young men, and they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet, and hang them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. That's the heart of God. Hypocrites think they're working for Him, even when they're trying to defend us, when God is with us, but they're doing it in the flesh and they're striving. God's going to find them out. That which is of the flesh is flesh. And that which is of the Spirit is Spirit. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. They thought they were doing God a favor. They thought they were doing David a favor. God is just, and holy is His name. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? The Lord shall judge the world in righteousness. Do you love righteousness, man David? Is this your heart? Do you love holiness? Do you agree with God in your heart? That's a regenerate person. That's salvation. And are you walking in that Spirit that you say you have? If you live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Else, be sure of this. My beloved brethren, your sin will find you out. Evil shall take hold upon you. You will melt in terror before God, as Ish-bosheth, I'm sure, did before those men. And they came upon him in his bed at noon. God allowed it to happen because
he was with a bloody man, Saul, in his house. Even Jonathan himself, the way he died, terrifies me.
Proverbs 1. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Ignorance is not bliss. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit upon you, God says. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge when it was given them. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. They didn't give God the glory due unto His name. When they could, when you saw your sin, you refused to hate your sin. Abhor that which is evil. That means hated as hell. And cleave to that which is good. That's why when I saw my sin, what I was doing this morning. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not going there. I don't want to learn my lesson the hard way. The way of transgressors is hard. I don't want to know what that means. I just want to repent. I just want the Lord. I just want to draw nigh to Him, He might draw nigh to me. I want to walk in the way of holiness. I want to go in the way of the Lamb. I believe in Him. I believe this book. I believe God is an angry God against sin. He's a loving God toward righteousness. So I'm going to practice by the grace of God what I believe and what I preach. Do you believe that? Rolf Barnard says, whatever you believe, you practice, or you don't believe it. Sin and wrong should not lead to wrong. Two wrongs, two sins don't make a right. When you see your sin, stop it. Quit it. Cut it out. Cut out your eye. Cut off your foot. Cut off your hand. It's better for you to go into life with one hand than to go into hellfire, where the fire shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not. That's the wisdom from the Lord. That's what wisdom cries in the streets, uttering her voice. For that they hated knowledge, verse 29, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Their blood's going to be upon their own heads. They deserved it. And be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the sinful, the ignorant, it's not bliss. It shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, that word, that still small voice, receiving with meekness, when God comes and He shows you, there's not charity in your heart. You're doing that in strife. You are envious against your brother. The one that hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be free from evil. When light comes, when the word comes, take heed. Or be ye sure of this, you'll pay the price. You'll remember these words. They will take hold upon you one day. They will find you out one day. This word will not return void. This book, this God of the Bible, whatever men say, whatever the majority opinion is, however this world goes astray after Antichrist and makes war against the God of high heaven, these words will stand. I believe that I would be able, with a good conscience, generally, to close with the death of Saul, the hypocrite, of Saul, the mocker, of Saul, the proud man who made himself wiser than God, but the foolishness of God is wiser than Saul. If y'all turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28, We'll read that. We'll read the death of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I might mention a couple men as I go through this testimony. Please read with me in 1 Samuel 28 and learn this lesson. Be admonished upon whom the ends of the earth have come, and do not follow Saul, follow David. And rather, don't follow David alone, follow Christ, the God of David, and see Christ in David. It's Christ. Saul played the fool, and he turned aside into perdition. Now Samuel, verse 3, was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards, out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together, and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host, the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And if you know, brethren, he'd been afraid many times. Read 1 Samuel 13. Read many instances in the life of Saul when the Philistines came upon him, and he was terrified. He wasn't fighting. He wasn't fighting Goliath. He trembled. He was terrified of Goliath. David fought Goliath. He didn't fight the Philistines in 1 Samuel 13 and 14. His son Jonathan did. And God delivered Saul. And God delivered Saul. And God delivered Saul. And he vexed his enemies on every side because God raised up judges under him in this hypocritical reign. Now God says, I'm not going to raise up Jonathan this time. I'm not going to raise up David. You've been persecuting him too long. Your time has come, Saul. Prepare to meet your Maker. Get ready for eternity. The hypocrite will come to an end. The turning away of the simple. Saul, this ignorant man. Simple man. Hard in his heart. Deceiving and being deceived against God. His folly is manifested in this chapter. This will be our end. This will be our end, brother. If we don't take sin seriously. If we don't follow God seriously. We don't look and set our mind on things above seriously. Reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. His heart greatly trembled. He was afraid. And though God had delivered him 1,000 times up to this point, when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, and yes, you better believe the Holy Ghost is pointing out that he had just put all familiar spirits and all witchcraft out of Israel, and now he's going to one that has a familiar spirit. Yes, the Holy Ghost wants you to see that. He's a hypocrite. Contradicting and blaspheming, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He will not stand. He's divided against his own self. I love righteousness. I love the Lord. I'm going to put all the witches out of Israel. But I love sin, and I'm going to persecute David because I'm envious, because I want to reign longer than God wants me to reign. Double-minded man will receive nothing of God but judgment. Repent. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn away. Are you going after God? Period. Full-fledged, single-minded, praising God, serving God, loving God, wholeheartedly following God, and you fall down 20 times in the day, are you getting back up? Keep coming. Keep coming. Don't be a quitter. Quitters don't make it to heaven. Superficial liars, hypocrites, light, vain fellows, they don't make it to heaven. It's not a vacation. There's not a quick fix way to get it to heaven. You've got to run. You've got to endure. You've got to continue. You've got to follow until you know the Lord. You've got to set your will. You've got to choose the fear of the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. If it's God, follow God. Follow God. Follow God. Chart. That's how you make it. That's who the blood is for. That's who the mediator will stand for on the day of judgment. This man followed me. He wasn't pretending. This man followed me. Really, he believed in me. Really, he followed me. Really, he got out on that tightrope and he jumped on my back and I carried him over this grievous battlefield of earth. Follow thou him. No excuses. The Lord's not going to accept it. Don't flatter yourself in your own eyes like Saul did until his iniquity found to be hateful. 1,000 reasons he thought, Son of David's against me. The Son of David got to die. And Saul inquired, and the Lord heard him not. Then Saul said, Seek me a woman, verse 7, that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Saul disguised himself, hypocrite, put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. It's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Can you trust this man? Covenant breaker, liar, hypocrite. His word's not good for anything. Trust me, I swear. It's no good anymore. He swore to David many times, and he said, I'm not going to follow you. Return to me, my son David. It's you I know. Thou art more right than I. I have played the fool. But David didn't trust in man. He didn't commit himself unto him. He knew Saul's ways. Covenant breaker. Brethren, that's your ways, but by the grace of God. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? Verse 11. And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? Thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed before the devil, because he was doing that in his heart the whole time, and this hypocrite is found out. The perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Happened. Finally. He was worshiping the devil before an evil, familiar spirit of Samuel. Saul bows down. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me? And yes, this evil spirit, though he be an evil spirit, he's under the power of the Lord. He can't go beyond the word of the Lord. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And Micaiah beheld all the hosts of heaven before the throne of the universe. And one stood up and said, I will go. And be a lying spirit. An evil spirit said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab. And God said, Thou shalt go, and thou shalt succeed. And he did. An 800 prophet spake a false lie to get Ahab to go to battle so that he could take him in battle. Because he had it out after Ahab. The word of the Lord is against him. When the word of the Lord is against you, you cannot escape. And Micaiah told them what happened. They still didn't believe him. They hit him in the face. But Ahab died the death of a man. And he perished as a sinner. And so Saul perceived it was Samuel, and he stooped to the ground and bowed before the devil. Samuel said, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore, sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me and answered me no more. He's going to die without God. I can't die without God. Don't let me die without God. And God is departed from me and answereth me no more, because that he hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Therefore, his calamity came suddenly, And though he sought him early, though he called upon him, the Lord will not answer. The Lord laughed at him and scorned him and sent this evil spirit. The Lord allowed it to happen. This evil spirit God had given him a long time ago. When he had rejected Samuel's word, the word of the Lord, despised it. Says that God gave him an evil spirit from the Lord, and God anointed David, a man that was more righteous than he. God is departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, this evil spirit, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. And the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. Death of a hypocrite. Let it never be named among one of us. And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled. And he ended up eating dinner with her, enjoying his last meal. As he himself was upon the execution list, he had the sentence of death literally against himself. He was on death row of God. The death of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm sorry, 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul. And the archers hit him. The archers hit him. And he was sore wounded. He was just gushing blood. Sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. He was uncircumcised in heart. And that's what mattered. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword, fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. He knew, Saul did, if they got a hold of him, they would have abused him. Thrust me through, they would, and abuse me. He was afraid of that. I saw him do that to Gidhafi. I saw them abuse that man. He knew that. That's why he committed suicide. His fear came upon him because that he hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And his fear came upon him as a desolation and as a whirlwind. He sought God early then. He called upon God early then. But it's too late. Be not silent unto me, David said. Lest if thou be silent unto me, I become as one that goeth down unto the pit. Read that Psalm 28, verse 1. Silence of God. If you scorn him, if you mock his word enough, and he did that, he just kept on. Samuel said, wait 7 days, I'll come and do the sacrifice. And Saul said, I was afraid, the Philistines were upon me, and I forced myself and sinned against my conscience. That was in 1 Samuel 13, and then 1 Samuel 15, when God had said, go smite the Amalekites, the good, the bad, everything else. He kept alive King Agag for the people, political move for his own name, and then he kept alive all the good cattle, but everything that was refused, he killed it. Samuel came to convince him of sin. He could not. He would not be convinced. He would not be told that he was wrong. No, I did right. I honored God and I honored the people. I received good from the people and from God. I'm wiser than the Lord. I know better than the Word of God. He wasn't poor. He wasn't contrite. He wasn't trembling after the Word of the Lord. Samuel said, "What meaneth this bleating of these sheep in mine ears?" Saul justified himself. "Yeah, I've obeyed the voice of God." And then Samuel pleaded with him more. "Yeah, I've obeyed the voice of God." And finally he said, "I have despised the word of the Lord and thy word, Samuel, who was his teacher, his pastor, who was his father in the faith. Yes, I did, okay? I did. Will you please just honor me before the people?" Just honor me before the people. I admit it. Okay, I was wrong. Is that repentance? Is he sorry for his sin? No, sir, because he did it again and again and again. And now he comes to die like a man without God. Who would die without God, by the grace of God, not me? Will you play with sin? Will you follow David? Or will you follow Saul? Will you follow Paul? Or will you follow Judas? Will you follow Jesus Christ? Or will you follow Satan? Choices before you, brethren. There's no shortcuts on the way to heaven. It's a narrow way. Few there be that find it. The righteous scarcely be saved. If you make it, you'll be scarcely saved by your integrity in believing the gospel. And when the light of God comes, that still small voice, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, you just receive it with meekness. And when your sin is coming upon you, and you're not having victory over your high places, you stop. Nothing comes before it. Nothing has preeminence. And you wait upon the Lord, and you seek the Lord, and you ask Him, "What's the problem? Lord, I cannot die without You, Lord. I need You. Show me the problem." And though you face death, you rather die than deny God. Then there's hope for you and me. Then you won't have to understand what Saul understood. You won't have to have this heart-melting fear take hold upon you. So Saul died, and his three sons and his armor-bearer and all his men that same day together. When the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, they that were on the other side of Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. All the Israelites were overtaken in terror, timid and fearful, having not a sound mind. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Beth-shan. That's what David, when he had killed Goliath and he cut off his head, it is believed he traveled around Jerusalem and other cities in the spoil of war, this great victory over this mighty champion of the Philistines. They did the same thing toward the champion of Israel, who was a head taller than everybody else, and he was a hypocrite. Will the devil carry your head around as spoil in the battle? Will he spoil your soul? Or will you stay in the name of the Lord, wearing a strong confidence? In the fear of God, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Though David faced death many times, God never gave him over. God never shut him up. Deuteronomy chapter 30, two of my favorite verses, unquestionably, chapter 30, verse 29 through 30. Oh, that they understood this! Oh, that they were wise! Oh, that they understood their latter end! How should one chase 1,000 and 5 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? God shut up Saul. The rock of ages sold him. God sells you to your enemies, to the devil, because you rebelled against him too many times. There's no escaping. Can't escape from God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, if we despise so great a Lord? I am a great king, saith the Lord. Are you giving an honor due to a great king, King of kings and Lord of lords? He will triumph. He will spoil his enemies. Will you be his friend or will you be his enemy? As for me, in my house, we will follow the Lord. And David, verse 17, 2 Samuel 1, and lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor the fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan! O Jonathan! Thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen? And the weapons of war perish. May I close with this. Isaiah 51, verse 7. A lesson to be learned for us in light of the death of these men. The awful death of the hypocrite. Isaiah 51, verse 7. God gives us wisdom that we ought to hold on to. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings, cursings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake! Awake! Put on strength, O arm of the Lord! Awake as in the ancient of days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man, that thou that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? Captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name, and I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Awake! Awake! Stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling, and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee, who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, we may go over. Thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as the street to them that went over. Who would die without God? Consider that.